Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. In Leo Tolstoy's famous Christmas story titled Where Love Is, the main character is Martin, an old cobbler in a rural Russian village. He's bitter with the world for the loss of his wife and child. As he tells a local priest, "Me and God don't get along anymore." The priest asks Martin to make a new cover for a very important holy book. And while Martin doesn't feel worthy of the job, due to his lack of faith, the priest gently prods him to read some of the book and give the job a try. One night, as Martin sat reading from the Gospels, he thought he heard someone calling him. So he listened carefully, and he heard clearly these words, "Martin, Martin, look out into the street tomorrow, for I will come to visit you." So Martin looked carefully around the tiny room. And since he couldn't see anyone, he reckoned it must be the Lord himself who had spoken to him. So with a great sense of excitement, he sat down to his work the next day. And as he worked, he kept a close eye on the window. He was looking for something or someone special. But nothing exciting happened. Just the usual people passed by on their everyday business. The day wore on, and nobody special passed by. In the early afternoon, he saw a pair of boots outside the window that were very familiar to him. They belonged to an old soldier called Stephen. Going to the window, he looked up and he saw the old man hitting his hands together to warm them, for it was bitterly cold outside. Martin wished he'd move on, for he was afraid he might obstruct his view and he wouldn't see the Lord when he passed. But old Stephen just stood there by the railing. Finally, it occurred to Martin that maybe Stephen had nothing to eat all day. So he tapped on the window and beckoned him to come in. He sat him by the fire and gave him tea and bread. Stephen was most grateful and said he hadn't eaten for 2 whole days. As he left, Martin gave him his second overcoat as a shield against the biting cold outside. But all the time Martin was entertaining Stephen, he hadn't forgotten the window. Every time a shadow fell across it, he looked up, but nobody extraordinary passed. And then finally, night fell. Martin finished his work for the day and reluctantly closed the shutters. He had so much wanted to see and entertain the Lord. After supper, he took down the Gospels, and as usual, he opened and began to read at random. After reading for some time, he put down the book and reflected. In a flash of inspiration, the words of the Lord came to him. "I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked, and you clothed me." Those words thrilled Martin to the very core of his being. The Lord had visited him in the person of old Stephen, and he hadn't missed the opportunity to serve him. Have you ever missed an important moment in your life because you were expecting something different than what actually happened? You know, the people of Jesus' day were no different. Because they didn't believe his words, they missed out on being part of his kingdom. Missing their moment had tragic, eternal consequences. Our text today is a rather lengthy one, but it's one that's very important for us to consider. It reveals several responses you and I must have to Jesus, or we too will miss our moment to enter the kingdom of heaven. So listen to the words of Holy Scripture from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 48. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. This text reveals the responses necessary for you if you don't want to miss your moment to enter the kingdom of heaven. The first response is, proclaim the King's worth. Jesus is continuing his final ascent to Jerusalem. In a few days, he will go to the cross to provide redemption for mankind. But there are some prophecies that need to be fulfilled before that takes place. One of those prophecies is found in Zechariah 9:9 and reads like this. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So what does Jesus do? He sends two of the disciples into a nearby village with very unusual instructions. When you get into the village, you'll find a donkey colt tied, a donkey colt that's never been ridden. Once you find him, untie him and bring him to me. And if anyone questions what you're doing, just say, the Lord has need of him. This little detail about the donkey colt having never been ridden is part of a larger pattern in Jesus' life. He occupied a virgin's womb at his birth, an unbroken colt at his highest point of earthly acclimation, and was buried in a tomb never used before. So off the disciples go, and the scene unfolds just like Jesus said it would. When the owners asked why they were untying the colt, the disciples simply said, the Lord needs him. We're told that when a royal or sacred person rode on such an animal, its owners didn't normally put it to customary use after that. But evidently, that's all it took for the owners to be satisfied. Now, it's likely that they'd heard Jesus was coming. Remember, pilgrims were streaming into Jerusalem from all directions for the Passover, and the crowds preceding him surely would have spread the news. But let's suppose for a moment that these owners of the colt would have said, hey, you can't have the colt, it's ours. That would have been perfectly within their rights under the law. But they would have missed their moment. By accepting Jesus' request, they were showing his worth. They were honoring him as someone special. Recall that these events are unfolding in the context of what the kingdom of God looks like. Jesus had welcomed the marginalized blind man of Jericho and the ostracized tax collector to faith in him. And what did the people do? They complained. He had just finished warning his listeners about citizens who rejected their king's rule over them, and he emphasized the need for faithfulness among his servants as a criteria for dispensing rewards. Here he was giving the owners of the colt an opportunity to honor him and serve his kingdom. These men who owned the colt were made aware of Jesus' request, his need, and they allowed the beast to be taken for his use. If they hadn't given permission, I'm sure Jesus would have found another donkey to meet his needs. But the point I see here is this: am I willing to proclaim Jesus' worth by allowing him to use my resources, my belongings? After all, who did the donkey really belong to? Psalm 50, verse 10 and 11 say, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine." That includes an unbroken donkey colt. Well, now the disciples have the colt. When they get back to Jesus, they take off some of their outer garments and put them on the back of the donkey. Then they seat Jesus on the colt and resume their ascent toward Jerusalem. Jesus allowed this as befitting the state he was for the first and only time assuming. He was allowing himself to be treated as a king. As the donkey moved up the road, more people took off their outer garments and spread them on the ground so the donkey carrying Jesus could walk over them. Now, they didn't just throw them down on the ground and leave them there. Instead, what you need to picture in your mind is they laid the garments down, the donkey walks over them, then they retrieve the garments and repeat the process. Now notice verse 37. Here the crowds and Jesus get their first glimpse of Jerusalem. Scholars tell us this vantage point yields a view of the southeastern corner, the angle of the western walls, and Herod's castle. It was at this juncture that the worshippers burst into loud messianic praise and acclamation for all the mighty works they'd seen. Lazarus, Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, and more. Their hearts were ablaze with the immediate fulfillment of the kingdom. And the adoring crowds of pilgrims began to cry out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord! Peace in heaven and glory in the highest!" You know, their words echo the angelic choir in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14 at Jesus' birth. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." One difference is the people's cry is peace in heaven and glory in the highest. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Don't Miss Your Moment. The quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching. Don't miss your moment. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching. Don't miss your moment. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Don't Miss Your Moment. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.